This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, in your fullness, we have all had a share. Grace following upon grace. So open the eyes of our heart, that we might perceive your graces, your blessings to us more and more, each and every day. Amen. Please be seated. Merry third day of Christmas. We are given this particular gospel each Sunday of the liturgical cycle that falls after Christmas. And today it happens to correspond very appropriately, December 27th, on the day when we celebrate the feast day of the evangelist whose gospel we just read, the prologue to, St. John. This is also a week in which, while we are in the lights and the joy and the love of Christmas, we are reminded of the cost of following Jesus as well. Yesterday was the feast of St. Stephen, the first martyr of the church. Tomorrow is the feast day of the innocents, those who were slaughtered when they were trying to find the baby Jesus and kill him. And the next day, we're going to celebrate the feast of the Archbishop of Canterbury and martyr, Thomas à Becket, whom many of us have had the privilege of visiting his shrine on pilgrimage in Canterbury. It is indeed a mix of these things that we are called to deal with and understand, but that is exactly what we've been talking about, that Christmas is all about. That God comes to us in the midst of our mess. Now, for 11 years, I have done something on this Sunday that we're not going to do today. And if you've been around St. Joseph's, you know that this is usually the infamous Sunday when we celebrate the sounds of Christmas. And we hear all those sounds that would have been going on probably, that it wasn't a real silent night, that the flies were buzzing around all those animals, that the donkeys were braying, that the sheep and the goats were making noise, that there was a party going on at the inn that they couldn't get into, and the baby was probably crying. And in the midst of all that, we sing Silent Night. And it becomes a little humorous, but it makes a point that God comes to us, as we do with that metaphor, in the midst of our mess, our chaos, and our noise. And that is important for us to remember. Normally, on non-pandemic years, on Christmas Eve, Dee organizes the children at the 4 o'clock service into this wonderful spontaneous pageant. And if you've ever been to it at St. Joseph's or another church, you know that it is the most wonderful chaos that we could imagine. But there is Jesus in the midst of it. This is a pandemic year. Someone had suggested, and I don't take credit for it, that this is the year we should do the Christmas pageant, but base it upon John's gospel that we just heard. And so I would like to present for you the Christmas pageant according to St. John. Now, we have to imagine that we're in the darkness. Hard to do that on a Sunday morning at about 10 a.m. in Florida. But the church is bare and dark. Everything is stripped away, furniture and decorations. The only thing visible is a small, insignificant little stand. And on that stand is a single, unlit candle. Everybody sits for a very long time in the darkness. Sitting long enough to feel uneasy about the silence. And at long last, someone solemnly marches down the aisle and without saying a word, turns on the light of that candle. The end. Or the beginning. John talks to us today about the light that overcomes the darkness. The darkness doesn't go away, but the light overcomes it. This is the theme of his gospel, the theme of the incarnation, and truly the mantra of one who tries to live the Christian journey. John's beginning of his gospel is a direct reference back to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis. The first three words of the Bible in Genesis, in the beginning. The beginning of his gospel that we just heard, in the beginning. And what is the first thing that God creates in Genesis? Light. What is the first thing that John talks about in his gospel? The light, the word. And it's very important if we go back to the Greek to understand that he talks about when Jesus is considered the word, was God. The tense that he uses in his grammar is an imperfect tense which talks about no beginning and no end. It's continuous. And whenever he uses that word or the derivative of it for was or is in the rest of his gospel talking about other people and things, it is what is called in Greek an aorist tense, which means there's a definite beginning and end to it. It's an important distinction for us to know that Jesus has been there, is there, and will be there with us for all time. I ran across in relation to this someone by the name of Carl Wilton, who writes this about this theme and this gospel. Here's where John's vision of life in the dead of winter, of a glowing candle piercing the darkness, is so powerful. You don't need to have a perfect Christmas. You don't need to have received the gift you always wanted. You don't even need to have celebrated Christmas at all. All you need is to have encountered the one at the heart of the celebration and to have known as you did so that, as the carol says, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Many congregations like ours will invite worshipers to come forward, to come to the table where Christ is the host. There we will partake of the tiniest portion of bread, whose taste, far from rich holiday fare, is perfectly ordinary. It's hardly a meal to rival all the Christmas feasts. But that's not the point, is it? Our purpose as Christ followers is not to bask in the life of the party. It is to celebrate in Christ the party of life. The light overcomes the darkness. The psalm that is assigned for this particular Sunday, and we sang a gradual hymn in its place, but I commend it to you for reflection, is Psalm 147. In Psalm 147, there is the line that it's speaking of the people of Israel coming back after the exile. And the psalmist writes, God will grant peace within our borders. Peace within our borders. What does that mean? That Jerusalem is now a wonderland of community and cooperation, that all conflict and discord is no more, that there's no more mess? Not likely. And it's not in keeping with what we know in other places in the Bible about the period in Judah after they come back from exile. They continue to have problems. But they understood that God was the power behind the power of the empire. The resulting peace was one where threats or darkness or chaos or mess was not eliminated, but it was handled. They had a power to handle it. It sounds very familiar to me about a particular vaccine that we are all hoping to get very soon. It enables us to have within us, when we are infected, the ability to stave it off. This is what the peace is that the psalmist in Psalm 147 is talking about, and it is the same kind of peace that we are offered this Christmas. Spiritual antibodies, for lack of a better term. The ability to be protected from getting spiritually sick, even if infection is all around us. That is the gift that we are given. I happened to be thinking about the drive-through that we did. And one of the things that is often pointed out is that the people of Israel in that post-exilic world, they were underdogs, and they had to get really creative to figure out how to survive. Sort of like David and Goliath. David got real creative, didn't he? God is calling us to get more and more creative. And we continue to strive in whatever we can to proclaim like the angels did to the shepherds. Good tidings of great joy for all the people. We came up with the idea of doing our own version of a drive-through Christmas pageant this year. We had no idea how it would go over, and it was weather dependent. The rain stayed away. Dee worked with an incredible amount of volunteers and families who created these scenes. We ended up with what was estimated as 300 people who came through to experience a creative way of presenting the gospel joy in a way that we thought might never be possible this year. I wrote some prayers that were connected with each of the stations we went through. And when the stations were put together, because we didn't know about the cars, working with Paul Wegner, our director of parking, they decided that we would have the cars drive through that upper lot in front of the vestry house, though there wasn't a station there for any of the stations of the manger. So we came up with the idea of taking what the Sunday school had been doing, because they're studying this year virtually the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and physically place into the trees that looks like fruit, and on each of these creative things that Dee and her crew came up with, lists all the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Comes from the book of Galatians, a chapter after the one we just heard today. But isn't that sort of the metaphor of where we are and where Christmas is for us? As we go on this journey as they did towards Bethlehem, and as we continue to go through this journey, the darkness is still there. The mess is still there. But God is still there. This is the prayer that I wrote for that station. Dearest Jesus, at a time when fanaticism rages, gift us with self-control. At a time when cruelty increases, gift us with gentleness. At a time when loyalty to God is overshadowed by vanity and selfishness, gift us with faithfulness. At a time when fears of scarcity lead to hoarding, gift us with generosity. At a time when meanness becomes acceptable, gift us with kindness. At a time when restlessness festers within, gift us with patience. At a time when disruption brings turmoil, gift us with peace. At a time when sadness could overwhelm, gift us with joy. And at a time when anger and hate increase, gift us with love. May all of that be ours. May we experience his blessings and graces, grace upon grace, for the light overcomes the darkness. Amen.